Blog Talk Radio.
Strike a match. I'm going to start another episode. When Black Men Talk, I'm Mark Elliott. Believe it or not, summer is here. It seemed like I just put away the overcoat and starting to kind of get a little warm outside. But we'll take it, man. I love good weather. The Northeast has kind of been raining lately and things been a little drizzly, but we'll welcome some nice hot temperatures, finally. Soon I'll be joined by Mr. DeMaurice and Mr. Charles. You know we do by now. We have conversations centered around life, love, and relationships. We say the things that some others are maybe afraid to say. We don't hold back, and we've been doing this for quite a while. That's a part of it. I want to bring Mr. DeMaurice in because we don't get a chance to talk as much as we used to during the summer format. We're already talking twice a month, so every other week we get together. So it's not a weekly thing, so I like to check in with the bros and make sure they're doing okay. So my question first for you, Mr. DeMaurice, man, if you're there, you know, the past couple of shows, man, you've been playing hooky when I come to you. You don't want to kind of kick in. So I don't know if you're going to kick in this time or not, man. Hopefully you give up the hooky game. But if you gave it up, what is your morning beverage, man? When you wake up in the morning, what's the first thing you like to reach out and drink? So, my boss?
Usually it's hot lemon water. Just a few drops of lemon and some water. And if it's not that, it's just straight water, man. Just straight water just to replenish the body. You've been sleeping all night and, you know, you might lose some of the fluids that you had during the day. So just trying to replenish the water supply in your body. Break the fast with some nice clean water and that's about it. I'm not really a good coffee drinker. Sometimes I'll hit the green tea every now and then, whether it's cold or hot. But, yeah, man, it's just something that's really simple and something healthy.
Yeah, you stole my thunder with that, man. Same thing here, basically lemon water. I tend to have mine a little cool. That's the first thing, man, I reach for is some lemon water most days. And I'm a big green tea drinker. I've been drinking green tea now for 25, maybe 30 years. Mr. Charles, the first thing you reach for in the morning, sir, the drink.
Good morning, gentlemen. Let me see. This has always worked for me, especially in the last 15 years. A cold, ice cold, 40 ounce of Old English 800 charcoal filter. No, I'm just kidding. For me, it's ice water, bro. I love straight ice water. I'm kind of with you. We know about that name, but it's just really refreshing for me. As DeMaurice mentioned earlier, nothing like that replenishing what you lost. But that water is just something, and it just kind of even stimulates the mind for me a lot of times. You just have a feeling that has a great effect for me in the morning.
There it is. Gentlemen, when I came in, I said we don't shy away from talking about different things. We've said some things that people are maybe afraid to say what needs to be said. Hey, that's what a man should do, man. A man should be able to speak his mind openly and not worry about the backlash, what people may think or say. And I'm glad that's what we do here. A few weeks ago, I said sometimes love can feel like a cubist cube. I want to go into that in a little bit. But one thing I want to put to you two gentlemen, and I wanted to get a quick opinion on, there's a phrase out there that, an old phrase, love doesn't love anyone. Or love doesn't love anyone. And I heard it in songs, heard people speak it. But to me, that's a deep statement that never really kind of gets talked about. So let's talk about it here. If someone says to you, Mr. Charles, love doesn't love anyone, what's your thoughts behind that?
To me, it's almost like a contradiction and whatever. But anyway, I'm going to jump into it. When I hear that someone says love doesn't love anyone, I think it really focuses on the meaning behind it is that there's so many complicated factors with love, and why it can be great for you. It can be very enjoyable. It also can be just as detrimental or damaging at the same point. So I think it has a lot of things involved with love. So it's not like you just don't love. Oh, love is great. This is gonna, I'm always going to feel great about love. I think there's, it just, it's showing you the different sides and different intangibles involved with it. So it's like, don't just think because you're going to, you're in love or you love love or have part of love that it's just going to be always great. That's my interpretation.
A good one. Mr. DeMarie, same one for you, man. I'm sure you heard the phrase, love doesn't love anyone. Your thoughts?
Yeah, the way I always looked at that is that I think some people have an idea of what they think love is, and they kind of run with that idea and the expectations of what that brings, and not really looking at the person in front of them and how that person really sees love and gives love and accepts love. So it's almost like you're running with the idea of what you feel like love is, and you feel like you should get that as opposed to what the person in front of you has to offer.
Yeah. I'm going to pull from what you two gentlemen said to me is because love doesn't love anyone because people love someone. It's not the love that love you, it's the people that love you. In a sense, and I think in times where we think if we say we love you, that's just enough, that nothing else should come with it, that should just covers the whole parameter. And it's not, man. Love is love brings a lot to the table. And sometimes when we just say, I love you, it's not that I love someone. If you're going to say that to someone, you have to bring a lot and be able to stand behind it. But as I was saying earlier, sometimes love can feel like a Rubik's Cube. Not a Cubic Cube. To me, I like Cubic Cube better, but it's a Rubik's Cube. And there's so much shuffling around of our emotions, our past hurts, our fears, our insecurities. And sometimes when all that happens, we forget love is so precious. And then sometimes it doesn't last long. Love is not a long-lasting thing. Now, we've probably all experienced different relationships, been in love a few times. And if we go back and kind of think about it, that love didn't have a long lifespan. Because realistically, I would think love is kind of designed when you kind of fall in love with someone, it should be forever, not have a short duration. Well, what tends to shorten that duration, in your opinion, Mr. DeMarie?
I think the expectations that aren't reached, when a person has the expectations of what they should have or what should come with someone being in love, I think it, a lot of the times drama when, you know, different circumstances that people have to deal with in order to try to achieve that goal of being loved and things of that sort. People are different and they have different expectations. They have different ways of looking at things. And, you know, the veil starts to drop down and you start seeing the real person. You realize, you know what, this is not a person that I would like to continue this journey on. And maybe some things are revealed, because I think when you get in relationships, I think it's I think the first part of it is kind of acting in a way and not being your true self. And, you know, because you want to attract the person that's in front of you and you kind of put on a performance, and then you can't keep up the performance. You got to come back to your true self at one particular point. And when you come back to your true self, then it may not, you know, be what the person wants in the long run. And so then that love dissipates.
I can see that most definitely. Mr. Charles, why does it seem to have a short shelf life?
Yeah, I think DeMarie hit on a couple key points that I'm going to follow up on. One, I think some people have the expectations that people have can be different. So if you think love should be a certain way, you expect certain things, and I see it differently, I think that after a while that kind of wears thin with people, because something they might have experienced in the past. Also, I think the infatuation of love, or what you think love should be, or the infatuation with the person, wears off. And when that wears off, like, oh, man, I really love her. We had great times together for these first 6 months or however long they last, and then all of a sudden you start to say, man, well, hell, what happened to the stuff we were doing before? or they might say the same thing about you, it starts to wear thin. And with that being said, that to me is when the work happens, right? If you really want to be with a person, you start putting the work in, so you start to understand what can we come together and what is needed to keep this relationship healthy. And you do that work because you're like, well, I really love this person. I really want to be with them, and they love me. So it may not be perfect, but you think it's worthwhile putting the work in.
I'm going to double down what you said, Mr. Charles, because I think that, to me, is really what really is at the heart of this, because I think when, like you just said, Mr. Maurice, you know, we all agree, in the beginning, you know, you kind of fall in love with the presentation and all that stuff. And I think so in the beginning, we fall in love with love, not the person. We fall in love with the idea that we're feeling good. This person comes into our life. They're in our space. They make us feel a certain way. And we fall in love with love. But once all that kind of wears off, let's say the honeymoon stage kind of passes on, we're looking at the person. Are we willing to really adjust and do things to really be in love with this person? As Mr. Charles said, do the work and put the work in. And a lot of times I think that's when we fall back into our selfish ways, to where, okay, it could have been something that, you know, you're carrying baggage from before. Well, this happened before, so I'm not going to do this. And we don't get off to a clean slate, and now the work is not happening. The work is not being put in to basically grow love, if it was ever there, and let love mature. So it's almost like we go to our two corners, in a sense. She goes here, we go there, and we kind of hope that we meet in the middle, but we don't really try to meet in the middle. And then sometimes I think some, maybe in a situation like that, one partner moves to the middle more than the other. And if you're both not in that middle together, to, in my thoughts, meeting in the middle together, really working on it, you know, hammering it down and doing the work, you're kidding yourself. It's just not going to happen. The Rubik's Cube has mental benefits. Just like in love, there's benefits. You know, the cube itself can improve your patience, enhance your concentration. It improves your skills in solving problems. Those three things right there, think about that for a second. Patience, concentration, problem solving. Damn, is that somewhat of a recipe, Mr. Charles, for a deeper love?
I think so. But I think there's a little bit more to it, because I mean, like some you mentioned, I think there's a little bit more to it when you thinking about the skills and whatnot, skill set. Some people already have those and connected. I think, again, the part of it is, the other part is, I guess I don't know how to add this in there, but is with all those things added, I think it still comes back to the point that was made earlier. It's still about putting that work in, though, because you can be patient. You can be, it can help you with your concentration. It can help you with problem solving. But I think you still have to be more invested with. Some of those things are not going to, it may not be as easy as for you to do. Still got to be dedicated together to make it work.
I hear you. Mr. DeMaurice, we're looking for, you know, you got that dog barking in the background, man. We ain't afraid of that dog, man. Let him bark, bro. That dog's a bark, my man. He must know when you're doing something, because he or she, he loves to go out.
I'm telling you.
Yeah. We ain't scared of that, man. You know, it's funny because we first started doing this show years ago. I would be doing it, motorcycles, ram, going by. And I'm like, you know what? Let them do this thing. When you're doing something, everybody wants to be part of it. But the benefits of a deeper love and some elements could be improving your patience, improving your concentration. And I think problem-solving skills is huge, man. I really do. But I want to get your reaction.
Yeah, I think it definitely has benefits in those areas, because when you feel like you're in a committed relationship, you'll go that extra mile for that person, because you see that the juice is worth the squeeze. It's worth investing in that, because you know that you're not alone. You know that there is another person that is a helpmate to you, and you can be a helpmate to them. And so everybody wants, you know, somebody that's supportive and somebody that's going to be in their corner through the tough times and help them through things, help them through problems.
And, you know, that you don't have to face them alone, that you have somebody that has your back. And so it's you know, those characteristics really kind of, I think they are pretty much help you improve as a person, your concentration, knowing that you have, no matter what, no matter what you're going through in life, no matter what the world is giving you, you got somebody in your corner that loves you and that's going to be there for you. Right or wrong, right or wrong sometimes, that you can lean on and say, you know, if there's nobody else in the world that I can lean on, depend on, and know that, you know, no matter what, it's going to love me, it's this particular person. So it does make you go the extra mile and bring out some of the other qualities that you have to keep that love and to keep striving and keep doing the best you can. For that person, and that person bringing out the best in you and striving for you. So definitely it enhances a lot of things as opposed to being alone and not being in a relationship and not being loved.
Man, you touched on a phrase I want to talk about, man. Going the extra mile. Wow. Mm-hmm. That right there, that's key to me, the extra mile thing, going to them, because I want to speak on it. I'm going to come to you first with this, Mr. Charles. Because in love, to me, in relationships, you should go the extra mile. Shouldn't be no question. It should just be a natural thing that happens, an individual extra mile. But what happens when, Mr. Charles, you're going the extra mile and the other person shows they're not willing or don't go the extra mile?
I think in that scenario, it could be very devastating, right? Because you're like, we're invested, we are connecting, I think this is worthwhile, feels good. And that person, as DeMaurice mentioned earlier, you mentioned that a person that's supposed to have your back, somebody you can always count on to be there for you, and also know that they are there for you to help and assist, and somebody you can always trust, that's major. Because a lot of us don't want to go that deep into allowing somebody to be that much into our space, right? That's a lot when you become more vulnerable. So when a person doesn't give you back that or is not in connected like you are, then you have to ask yourself, or I ask myself, other people do, like, is this worth it, man? Because the deeper you get, if you're not getting back what you put into it, or you're not feeling the same or the same love, sooner or later, the more you stay in it, the more devastated it can be and the more hurtful it can be down the line.
Yeah, that's a quick turn off right there, man. That's a quick – that will start to erode any foundation, in my opinion, of a relationship. And it's not like you do things for someone to match it, because you just – your heart – you know, allows you to do such, but you go the extra mile and they just show they're going to think about it sometimes, don't kind of reciprocate. And again, it's not about matching. It's the will of going the extra mile. That's what it really comes down to, the will. Are they willing to do the extra mile, whatever the extra mile may be? And if you're doing it and they're not, you just turn the lights out. Turn them out, because they're going out anyway. So that phrase, Mr. DeMaurice, man, I haven't heard that in a while, but I used to always say that to myself a lot, and it was always present throughout my relationships. So, yeah, man, that phrase, going the extra mile, man, your interpretation, man, if one is giving it and going there and the other one is basically hesitant, not delivering, not taking that mile length, what's happening here?
Well, the commitment's not there. You know, if you're committing and you're giving all you can give and the other person is not, then you have to start questioning whether or not they feel the same way you do. I think love is, in relationship, is about matching each other's energy. And if you're not matching the other person's energy, then one person is going to be giving more energy and trying to make things work. The person's light's going to burn out at a certain point. Because they're working double, triple time trying to make things work, and the other person's not really kind of meeting them halfway or really committed in the relationship. So it will build resentment. It will build, you know, the person kind of saying, well, I'm doing everything I can. I see you doing less and less and less. What's going on? Do you even want to be in this relationship? Or are you really truthful in saying that you love me and you care about me? Because love really depends on sacrifice. You know, you're sacrificing part of yourself and for the greater good of the whole. And so it's almost like, you know, if I'm putting in five pieces and you're only putting in one, you know, I'm going to run out of pieces at some period of time. And you're not putting in your fair share of the work to try to make this work. So, you know, you start to question, do you even want this to work? Or are you just here until something else comes along and then you're, you know, on your way? And I think that's when people start to see that, hey, you know, suspect people, there might be somebody else, something distracting you, something that, you know, people start feeling insecure about who they are because this person is not feeling the same way they feel about this person. So that causes a lot of problems in the relationship. So if you're not matching your energy, then why are you in the relationship in the first place? And it will kind of give the person who's not telling me the absolute truth in this relationship. They say they love me, but they're not showing it. And actions and words go together. You cannot separate those things.
Let me ask you this, Mr. Reese, because I wonder, do we do this as a whole? When a relationship that you may have experienced in the past, when it ends, have you spent time going back and reevaluating why it kind of ended this way, the role you may have played, or to be here, what you could have done different, what you probably shouldn't have done. Do you give that time, or do you basically, for the most part, start a new one and expect to get, here again, the word expectations, to get X, Y, and Z? Because what I find interesting is that most of the time you meet somebody new, they tell you what they want. Those are the expectations right there. You know, I want that those are expectations. That they're, you know, that's it. But I'm wondering when things end, it could be a relationship, it could be a marriage, whatever it is. Do we really take time to pull back and reevaluate and see, okay, how did we get from here when it was all lovey-dovey? Do we get and we end up here?
In general, I don't think that happens, but I know in my case, I do. It's almost like game film to me. I want to learn what I did wrong, what didn't work, what things did I miss, how did I get to point A to point, you know, F, and I want to correct them. I always want to be better. I always feel like, you know, when you make mistakes, you go through life, you go through this journey, you always want to be better than you were yesterday. So in that way of striving to be better, I definitely take a look at what my part was in it, what the other person's part was in it. I analyze that, maybe overanalyze that, because I don't want to take the same thing into something new. And usually I take a lot of space and time not to get anything new because I want to evaluate that. I don't want to go through that pain again. I don't want to go through that ordeal again. So what do I do to make sure that doesn't happen again, that I am better for it than worse? But in general, I think people don't really look at that. They look at it as, I'm not taking any personal responsibility or accountability, and that person was wrong, and I'm just going to go forward, and I'll show them that I can get somebody better and all this other stuff. But it's really not about that. I think we all need to, but a lot of us don't, all need to take accountability. Okay, how did I put myself in the position, or how did I make mistakes, or did I do my due diligence in this? And if not, you know, don't beat yourself up on it. How do I improve? How do I get better at this? How do I get to a point where I'm not feeling this way again? I'll say again, in general, I don't think people really do that because they seem to be serial daters. And they do the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. But I know I tend to analyze and kind of and really kind of step back and say, okay, what's going on here? How am I feeling? What things not to do? What things should I have done better? Things of that sort. And then I try to move forward on those things.
Well said, man. I agree. I don't think a lot of people do, man. And the key part of that is taking accountability. I don't think they do. They don't want to see they did anything wrong or try to correct anything. And I'll say this about that mindset. I think that's, believe it or not, I think that mindset starts when you're a child. If you're not held accountable, and I don't mean getting a spanking for the stuff you do, but if you're put in situations as a kid and someone always came in, it could have been a parent, whatever, a guardian came in and always looked at the other person and didn't make you see the role you play in a situation, you grow up thinking, okay, I'm always correct. I'm always right. There's nothing for me to benefit from going back and understanding it. And I think we find adults doing that. They get in a situation, they become inflexible, you know, they kind of hold on to what they feel. And then when it's over, like you said, they're going to bring those same qualities that didn't work in this one to the next one. And I think that works in marriages too. And you see people married 3, 4, 5 times, you're going like, what, you know, you can get married as many times you want because they don't basically give you a quiz or make you do anything to get a wedding license. So any jerk or idiot can sign up and get a wedding license. But to me, I would think after the first time you've been married and it didn't work, if you truly, honestly spend some time reevaluate what's going on, your second one, I'm not saying it should be a knockout the park, but if you choose to do it again, you at least understand, okay, what can I bring different? What can I add to this to maybe give it longer duration? But no, they don't. They just kind of basically float along. And honestly speaking, I knew after the first marriage what kind of went on there. That's what kind of kept me away from marriage in general, some of it, because I saw some of the things that I knew I wasn't going to kind of basically welcome to a second, third, or fourth marriage. So coming to you, Mr. Charles, in a sense of to where when things kind of come to an end, you know, are we really spending time thinking about it, or do you spend time kind of really going back and looking at it? Or you just kind of close the door and say, hey, you know, that was it. Let's go on to the next.
I think DeMaurice knocked it out the park. I think the majority of people do not take that time. They feel like it was the other person's fault. They might have a little issue. They could have done some things they could have done better, but it's like they really messed it up to that effect. But I agree. I do take time afterwards just to kind of see, because I have to ask myself, man, she was all right halfway sometime. And I'm like, did I blow that? I just really messed this up. But I think it's important to take time to really understand so you can improve, as DeMaurice said, to be better. Because that's key. I mean, you want to grow. You can get married all the time. You can marry many times if you want to. But the key is, though, are you growing as a person? And is that going to help you to really find love and fulfillment so you have to keep repeating the same process? So, no, I agree with that 100%. I think more people should do it, should take the time. And then you have to be honest with yourself. You learn about yourself, and hopefully that will allow you to grow.
Yeah, being honest with yourself is key. It's very key. Question for you, Mr. Charles, in a sense where, let's say when that has happened, would you or have you ever went back to the other person, not to say you wanted to be back with them, but said, you know what, I apologize for this because I wish I could have done this different. I wish I could have done that better. Have you ever experienced that, or would you do such?
I have experienced it because I thought I could be the bigger person or the person to just be honest, right? And I'm like, okay, well, since we're not going to be together, we're not together, it's been some time. I've seen that person, we've been cordial or whatever. Then they get into this drama, and it backfired on me one time. Well, I said, what the hell? They go, well, you never really blah, blah, blah. And I was like, but I did. Like, for instance, they said, well, you never really loved me. And I was like, yes, I did. And I said, I'm more action-oriented, and this is my actions. And, of course, they asked me that question. When they basically asked me to date when I loved them. I said, are you kidding me? You want a specific date and time when I loved you, when you thought I showed love to you. I was like, man, the hell with it. Anyway, I ain't doing that no more. Anyway. Crazy, man.
Oh, yeah. And now it may not go well, but I think it's worth doing. I think it's definitely worth doing, but that's comical. A date and time. Mr. DeMaurice, man, have you been yourself went back to someone? Because I know you've spoken of people have come back to you, but have you ever kind of approached someone in the past and said, hey, you know, I want to take responsibility for this, you know, my part in this and the role that I played?
Yeah, you kind of taking the steam out of my question later, but there have been times when I've done that, and I thought immediately about a couple of times that I've done that where I was like, you know, once you get back in it, you're like, man, this was a mistake. This was a total mistake. I should not have done this because, I think it sometimes it's the lonely talking to both of you. Nobody will put up with the both of you, and so you find yourself back in the same circles again. I find myself going back saying, okay, I reevaluated, you know, this is what I've done, this is what, you know, I saw the situation, but the person never changes. It's almost like they're trying to they sharpen their teeth and their iron and the axes to chop you down even further the second time or third time or whatever. I think what happens is, and I know in my case, you start reminiscing on the good times and you forget the bad times, and you start reminiscing. Maybe the intimacy was great, or the connection physically was great, and you're like, you know what, I'm a little bit more of that, and you go back, and then you realize once you sign to renegotiate the contract and sign the contract, like, I forgot about all this other stuff. And this is not what I want. You know, this part is good, but the other part, no. And then you remember why you left in the first place. And so, I think we do get caught. We do get vulnerable at certain times when we go back. But in my case, and I would tell anybody this, once you made that decision that you're not going to be with this person, try your best to make that final, because the person's not going to really kind of change that much to make it the second time around. You know, there are cases where it does, you know, but in my experience, once you leave and it's over, it's over. Just walk away, find somebody else. Because you're going to get right back in a situation where you're just sitting there like, how did I get right back in the same situation I fought so hard to get out of?
Mr. DeMaurice, we love you, man. You answered the question. You answered the question that wasn't even asked. I love it, though. I love it because Mr. Charles and I was talking about just going back and letting them know the role we play. You actually went back and we started a relationship.
That leads right into
that. No, man, not nothing. No. It led that for you, my brother. Because to me, I'm not saying that can't happen, but to me, going back, you know, you make some good points there. Because going back, I mean, I'm willing to say I'll go back and say something, but I'm not going back and saying, hoping that it can start the relationship. Because at the end of the day, like you said, there's reasons why you left. You two are no longer together. And more than likely, those reasons are still there. They're still prominent because that other party, or even could be you, you haven't changed from, or nothing's changed from when it was there. Nothing got worked on. Nothing got solved. So you're going to go back and get the same. And that's what's going to happen. I remember it was a cat of mine, man, that when I was separated, was a buddy of mine was telling me, it was at work, actually, and I might have been separated for about 8 months at this point, 6-8 months, waiting for things to happen. And we were just talking, I think we were talking about sports, and out of nowhere, he said to me, Mark, don't go back. His name was Nick. He said, Mark, don't go back. I said, Nick, what are you talking about? He said, I'm not saying you're thinking about going back, but he said, don't go back. He said, I did it. He said, I was right where you were, and he said, I thought about going back, and he said, we had conversations. I went back, and he said, it didn't take long. He said, earlier was good. He said, but it took about a month. He said, I found myself sitting on the couch saying, damn, why am I back here?
Yep.
Why am I back here? He says, nothing's changed. And he said, you know, he had the right intentions and right thought, but he realized, and he says, he said, honor what you thought while what you did. And I said, Nick, I appreciate you saying it, bro, but I had no intentions or thinking going back, because again, you realize what you, I realized at that time, the reason why I took to make that move, not thinking that, okay, just because I'm some things I didn't do correct, doesn't mean things got worked on. So things that you might have thought that, you know, that were still there, they're still there. They're just covered up for a little while. They're covered up temporarily, and that cover's going to come off. And that cover's going to come off, you're going to be dealing with the same thing. So either you want to put yourself in that situation, you know, you miss good reasons to go. I mean, you miss good reasons to go back. A lot of times for men, we do go back because of the comfortability of the sex and all that stuff. But if you was willing to leave it for all that behind, then you got to keep walking, bro. Don't look back. Keep walking, because those things will keep you in a situation that's not healthy. That's not going to allow you to grow. You're not going to benefit. And if you're not doing those things, you're not good for the other party anyway. You really aren't. In a sense, you're not giving them what they need. In a sense, absolutely, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Can I jump in? Because women tend to say, well, you need closure. Closure is when you leave. Closure is when you leave. You've made your point. If you haven't gotten, you know, the closure from, okay, we're no longer together, then too bad. And usually what I, in my experience, is that when you go back and you, yeah, I did this, that, the other, it's not closure. It's, can I get another crack at this? Can I get another kind of turn at this? Can we rebuild this? Because people generally don't want to lose somebody that they invested some time and energy with. And so for me, I know I've been in situations where I'm like, yeah, can we talk? Sure, we can talk. And then it turns to we talking, and then we heavy breathing, and then all of a sudden it started over again. And so my thing is, once it's over, walk away. You ain't got to have no closure. You ain't got to have no conversation. You know, you resolve that yourself, and you keep it pushing, because you can always be lured back. And I always tell folks that if you can, you know, like, you know, yeah, their ex, you know, they're talking to their ex, and I always said to myself, if I can get there once, I can get there again. And if that ex is talking to them, that ex is, it has a chance to get there again. So walk away, stay away. You resolve it yourself. Don't fall for that closure BS, because that closure is just trying to see if there's a possibility that we can do this again, or I can taste that one more time. And if I can taste it one more time, I can taste it as many times as I want.
I will say this, man. I do think closure sometimes, that word and that could be used to kind of reignite stuff. But I think, here again, if you knew that's not where you want to be, and I do think people are entitled to closure. I do think that. I will say, I think someone's entitled to, if things come to an end, to understand why it's there. Now, once you make that clear, then, you know, it's up to you what you, how you want to handle it from that point. But I do think person's entitled to closure. But Mr. Charles, Mr. Reese took our question, or the question, to a totally different level, my brother. So I'll come to you with the way he answered it. In doing so, did you find yourself reigniting and starting a relationship in the past with someone when you might have been just really trying to say, hey, here's what I did wrong?
Nah, man, because you can't win. I mean, you can't win.
You can't win, bro.
I'm telling you, you be feeling all vulnerable because she say something that's really encouraging. You be like, well, okay. Then you start telling other truths. Say, well, maybe I could. And then you go, well, maybe she didn't understand. Then she goes to that point where it come out. Well, yeah, you know you was. I knew that was the problem anyway. It just goes evolve, man. This whole thing that you weren't even ready for. You wanted to just kind of admit something and get in and get out. But nah, man, hell nah. You already know. D-Marie said it. D-Marie said, look, when you get halfway in there, you be like, I remember why I left in the first damn place. Here I am again, feeling the same way, like a child being scolded for the 19th time. You know she ain't going to ever change her mind. She'd be wrong as hell. Anyway,
yeah,
come on. You're right.
No, you ain't going to hear that. Yeah, you're right.
So, look, you just got to be honest. Be like, is it worth it? Hell nah. Anyway.
My man, Mr. Demon Reese, boy.
Ha 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 ha!
time to get the party started.
I'm back in love again.
Oh, man. All right. I think it's a great time to roll in the questions. Your question, Mr. Charles.
Oh, man, this is so apropos. I love this. I'm going to keep it right there. So my question is, since we are all over this space where D-Maurice extended it, right, let's stay right here.
Mm-hmm.
So the question is, have you ever went back to a relationship or even went back to the person because of intimacy? And then have you done it several times because it was just that daggone good and you were willing to deal with the punishment and that angst that you have to deal with so you can go back and deal with, get that intimacy one more time? One more time. Go ahead, Dola.
Yeah, I'll say this. If a man says no, he's probably lying. He's lying because good sex will basically lure you at some point, man. It just will. It is what it is. It will basically pull you back in when you think you're out just for the sex sometimes. And it's just, if you're in that particular situation, environment, yeah. So, yeah, the answer to that question would be yes, man. It would be yes that you find yourself there, not necessarily trying to reignite anything, but I think after a time or two of that, you might just go, you know what, nah. Or you may think it beforehand, go, no, it's really not worth, you know, kind of doing. But there has been some times, absolutely. Your response, Mr. DeMaurice.
Yeah, I've done it. And I remember a buddy of mine who was talking about, you know, his ex. And because you think you're going to go back and it's free, you know, that, you know, you just go, you know, dip and dab, and then you walk out of there and you ain't going to have no consequences after that. And that's not true. And so when he was talking about doing it, I said, repeat after me. I said, it's not. He said, it's not. I said, it's not free. And he said, it's not free. I said, because she's going to think you're renegotiating the contract. Because if you acting like that's your woman and you in there with her acting like that's your woman and she's reminiscing, she's going to tie some emotions to that. You may just think you're just hitting and running. That's not what she's thinking. And I don't care what she says. She's going to tie some emotions to the relationship before, and she's going to keep wanting that, and she's going to try to lure you back. So it's not free. And we think it's free because it's like, yeah, we just going to hang out. Nah, that's just a test drive to see whether or not, you know, you can get those feeling back, whether or not, you know, the car still runs the way it should, or you made some improvements, or, you know, you got some new moves and something like that, and you're more exciting and all that. The passion is there and all that. I said, but it's never free. It's never free. But we think as men, we just going to hit and we're going to quit it, and that's going to be it. And she's going to be cool with it, and I'm going to be cool with it. And I'm not saying it never happens where both are cool with it, but then I've seen where the guy want to hit and quit, and then he catches feelings, and then he wants more, and then he gets jealous when she's out there doing her thing. And he thought, hey, I thought this was the pathway to get back together. So it gets really complicated at certain points where that's why I say this, you know, if you ended it, don't go back and explain. Let them figure it out. You figure it out. You know, you do your self-evaluation.
Cold, man.
But don't go back and explain, because it's just going to complicate things. And, you know, and it may lead into getting back into bed and then getting in the same situation again. And for me, that's the way I kind of play it. Like, okay, I'm going to go and figure this out. I got all the data I need to figure this out. You go figure it out. There's no closure. Closure was when we decided we weren't going to be together. It's closed. Case closed. That's it.
I'm going to add this before I come to you, Mr. Charles. I think, too, though, man, I think part of the problem is that what you're speaking of, Mr. Nuri, there's no communication there, bro. It's just action.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for a man that, you know, you have to communicate where you are emotionally, what your intent, and give her the opportunity. But, yes, if you're just coming back and you're acting like, yes, then she has no other reason not to think that. She has no – I mean, you have to be communicative to where to let her, and she should do the same for you, to where you understand. Because there are some people that you can have a relationship with that things may end, but you two could be cool just being friends or from time to time being cordial to each other. Doesn't necessarily have to be where it goes any further than that, because there had to be something good on both sides for you two to have been together for a period of time anyway. And sometimes people like just to hang on to that. But again, I think when you handle that with communication and as an adult, if both parties respect what other each party is saying, I think you can find a common ground. And I'm not saying it has to end up in the bedroom, but at least you two can live without that, you know, that animosity and all that other stuff, man, because to me, that's how I like to handle it as an adult. Just saying, that's it right there. So if you ever go back after a sale, you come across someone, that's it. But I do think men go back to enjoy the goodies and they don't say anything. You know, their game plan is okay, yeah, and like you said, they're thinking it's free, but and you're not communicating. You're not. So when she acts a certain way or she does something, you want to act like she's flipping on. But how does she get there? Because she didn't get there by herself. So communication to me is always up front. This is blank, blank, blank. And, you know, and see where the shit fall. Your response to a good question, Mr. Jones.
Thank you, sir. No doubt I have. I ain't going to lie to you. I'm like, well, and I don't know if I agree with you. I'm going to admit, I don't know if I really communicated at all ever. It's like, hey, we talking, you know what's going on. Yeah, I remember such and such and such. What'd you say? Yeah, I kind of miss you too. Before you know it, here we are. And it does not work well. I'll be honest about that. But it was great while it lasted. But it's like, again, you have to ask yourself, can you deal with the pain that you're going to deal with to get to where you want to be? And if you can't, you got to bite the bullet and go. And you ask yourself, was it worth it? Most times you're like, yeah, at least one more time. Thank you. Anyway.
For the good
time. Yes, sir. I love we're doing this show, man. I love the honesty, the straightforwardness that we do right here with Black Men Talk. I want to thank those who have given us an ear and continue to give us an ear. Appreciate you giving us a listen. We get together now once, maybe twice a month. Every week we get together and we basically have conversations. And it's mostly just like this, man. We just throw something out there and we go in. Your question, Mr. DeMaurice.
I know we talked about this before, but it was brought up yesterday with some people I was around, and it sent shivers up my spine, man. A buddy of mine was telling me about a guy he knows that not got married to the same woman once, not twice, but three times.
No.
And it sent shivers down my spine because we had an uncle who married the same woman twice. And for the life of me, I couldn't figure it out. You know, maybe it was good. Maybe they saw something that they didn't see before. And I want to pose the question, could you ever, I know Mr. Charles hasn't been married, but could you ever think of a scenario? Would you marry the same woman multiple times that you, divorce is not a easy decision to make it. But could you imagine going back on that, saying, you know what, let me throw my hat back in and let's try this again. Maybe we could try again, as Atlantic Star would say. Could you ever fathom that?
No, my brother. That cat need help, man. And I, that's not easy for me to say about me, but he needs some help, bro, because he's dealing with a lot of, in my opinion, a lot of things he doesn't really want to face, see, deal with, own up to. And not to say he probably loves her. He does. He probably loves her. And it's, something that between them, and maybe they should try to work it out with some help or whatever. But I would say from a male's perspective, when that happens sometimes, we over-evaluate and we think in terms, okay, We think of dumb stuff, bro. We think of, okay, who's she going to be with? You know, who's going to do this? And if you're thinking all that, then you're not ready to be away from her. You're not. You know, what is she going to be? You know, if you're focusing on that, then stay there, man. Don't get married two or three times. If you want to block, you want to do all that. But that's what men think about a lot of times. And it keeps them idle. It keeps them stupid. And it keeps them in a place they really don't want to be. So if you decide that he decides, I'm going to stick with him, the first time, whatever reasons you decide the first time to move along, if you didn't really want to work it out and concrete, you know, knock it down, then those are the reasons they are. They didn't change. They're still there when you come back. But now you're coming back, and you're on her like a yo-yo, bro. It's like, mm-mm. But some of those things, I don't think he hasn't let go of, bro. He hasn't let go. And you have to, when you are moving on anything, you got to let go, fully let go, fully. And sometimes he could be afraid of just moving forward. He's afraid of what's out there for him. Mm-hmm. And it's like, he's got to, and that's why I say he has a lot to deal with, a lot, because this just shows he's scared in some areas. He doesn't want to let go. And, you know, just stay there and be what it's going to be. If you're miserable being there, stay home. But, no, man, I can't see that, you know, no. Because to me, when you're in something, especially as a marriage, but to me, you're in a relationship, you should empty out your barrel, bro. You should empty everything out. Everything gets put in there, bang, bang, bang. So if it doesn't work, and you know, for me, I know I did what I'm supposed to do. The hands are wiped. I could walk away and go, you know what? I couldn't do any better. Maybe if I could, but I didn't do it at that time. I'm good with that. I forgive myself. I move on. But hanging on to her and trying to go back and reincarnate, I said this when I was married. This is not a dress rehearsal. It's not. It's not like we're doing this. We're going to take scene and come back. No. This is one time we got a chance to get this right or correct. And if we don't get it correct, I'm not dressing up again and getting in front of the audience. Your response, Mr. Charles, to a question. Good question, actually.
That's a hell of a question. And I've never been married, so I know this is a different perspective. I would think about my old uncles, my dad, and the old men, older men, or I'm calling them some older Macs and players, bro. Look, man. I couldn't see myself going back again. Because as you mentioned before, Mark, that you already did it. You gave everything that you had. You're supposed to empty the barrel out, empty the gun out, right? So why are you going to try to reload it? It's just not going to happen. And I know there have been certain cases that you don't understand, this is bizarre. Then we'll get off this real quick, that if you are so much enamored with the person again, you still love them, whatever, then my point then is we don't need to get married again. We can just keep doing what we've been doing. We can work this relationship out without finalizing back at the altar. That's just me, especially in these modern-day times. If y'all want to be partners or whatever, sometimes it's better that way because you don't have that legality hanging over you. Some people just get along better because you understand what it is, and that's how it's going to be. That's how I work with it instead of letting everybody know, oh, we back together and we back in front of areas, and people are like, again? And I'd handle it the other way.
That's like, I know people, man, have been married for like 5 or 10 years. And their marriage is raggedy, but they're renewing their vows. What's that going to do? You get in front of people that act like, hey, everybody know your marriage raggedy, and you want to get in front of them. Yeah, we're renewing our vows. Sit down. Your response, Mr. D.
Yeah, I've been told people do that to recommit to back to each other and all that other stuff. And I'm like, you know, that's like a lot of waste of time and money. You bringing everybody back to the scene of the crime once again, you know, to reenact, you know. You got to do all that, y'all. You know, no. And usually what I hear, it's the woman's idea. Like, we need to, you know, do our vows and do that, you know, we commit. And it ain't the guy's fault, you know, idea to do it. But, man, I mean, I don't know what it is. I think... You know, some men really just need help, and I think you both said, you know, some great things about, you know, I'm afraid of what's out there, or what's out there wasn't as what they thought was going to be when they got out there, that they were going to, you know, have a bunch of women and be partying every weekend and all that stuff, and they wouldn't be lonely. Maybe it's the devil you know that, you know, you can live with as opposed to the devil you don't know. I don't know what goes on in these guys' head, but when he said the guy is the third time around, I'm like, oh my God, y'all didn't, you know, take him to a therapist or take him to Las Vegas to straighten him out and do something to clear his head to do this three times, because if the first two times didn't work,
I'm thinking she's going to kill him. The third time, I was like, okay, you know, he left my crosshairs last time. This time, I'm really going to seal the deal. I don't get it, man. I don't get it. And, like, you know, it's like the definition of insanity, doing the same thing expecting different results. And that's the, you know, the case study for insanity right there. Three times? Come on, man. I know when my uncle did it twice, we were like, everybody was scratching their head. Everybody was scratching their head. The men in the family were laughing. We were sitting there trying to figure it out. Did she put a spell on her? What's going on? Because, you know, this don't seem right. And I think they split up again. If I'm not mistaken, they split up again later on. And it's like, what were you thinking in the first place that this would work? But, man, it's just some of us just need help, man. And to get to a space where we can clear our minds so we don't keep making the same mistakes over and over again.
I think something, man, is obvious here, too, about men that don't get the highlight. There's a lot of men that don't want to be alone or afraid to be lonely, that don't want to experience that. So they will put themselves in situations that aren't healthy or aren't good for them. And another thing, too, and I'm going to tell you, Mr. Charles, I know I've said this to you on many occasions, but it took strength for you to not marry into a situation that you knew that wasn't going to work for you, bro. But I know some cats, man, that never been married, and they get to a certain age. Now they're desperate. They're running around. They're looking to marry bad situations. And if they come to me, I'm like, you don't see this? They're blurred because it's like now they feel like they hit a certain age. It's almost like they're afraid to die and say, I never got married. I don't know what it is. But they make these decisions. They're ready to make these decisions. And then they come and ask, like, what do you mean what I think? You already know this is screwed up. But it comes from that foundation. Now, you know, they don't want to be alone. And some men buy into this stuff, you know, that you get of age, you're going to need somebody to care for you. Bro, if she don't love you, she ain't caring for you. I don't care what her last name is. I'll be honest. She ain't. I don't mean she's going to care for you. It's just, it is what it is. But I think they get this old adage, you know, you need somebody. And women will say that to you. Who going to take care of you? I ain't asking you to. They'll say it. Like, you need somebody to take care of you. Not really. You know, and a lot of men start to buy into that. You know, they don't want to be home alone. I heard men say, y'all want to come home to somebody. Damn, get a pet. You know, realistically.
Yeah.
I mean, a woman is not just to come home, come home to somebody. It references more than that.
Get a dog. Get a dog.
Yes, man.
He said
get a pet.
After the dog.
Yes. I heard men say some dumb things, bro. Just about, and it's like, it has nothing to do with what you're putting yourself involved with. It makes no sense in their mind of thinking, their way of thinking. You look at them and go, okay, no, you ain't been married for years, but so what that means? If you don't have the right person in front of you, what does that mean? What does it really mean at the end of the day? You know what I mean? Mm-mm. You came into the world alone. Damn it, you're going to probably leave the world alone. Not probably. You will. But I think a lot of times men get scared, and they get alone, they get scared, and they start doing things without basically standing still. Reevaluating, give it some thought. 30 seconds to you, Mr. Charles. 30 seconds to you, Maurice. Some stuff you just want to say real quick before we get out. We got like a little over a minute. 30 seconds, Mr. Charles. You go on, bro.
Yeah, appreciate it. I'm going to stay right there. Being a guy who's never got married before, I have issue with that, man. I think you just got to understand who you are. And there's more than enough beautiful women that understand the situation and will help you accommodate you to be a good person and have a great companion without getting married. Leave that right there.
You got it. 30 seconds for you, Mr. Demarais.
Always, always, always look to what's going to make you happy first. Don't settle. Do not settle, because once you start settling, it's going to take it away from where you want to be and who you are.
Learn who you are, man. Understand your fears, your wants, your desires. Learn who you are. Stop just jumping up, man. God has put all the strength inside of you. Learn to utilize it. It'll work to your advantage. Gentlemen, we get together in 2 more weeks. In the meantime, enjoy the early part of summer. You know, keep your sunglasses clean, if you know what I mean. Stay black. It's Mark Elliott, Mr. Charles, Mr. Dean Reed. It's When Black Men Talk.